Hello and welcome to this yet another episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. We're doing this slightly later than normal. It was a mixed week. Well, I could say it's a mixed weekend, but probably not a good weekend, you know. India losing to Pakistan. We'll talk about that. As usual, I'm joined on this podcast by my co-host, Venkat. Hello, Venkat. How are you?
Ashley, I'm doing good. Thanks. A busy, hectic week.
Yeah, it's been a very hectic week. I think in terms of this podcast, I guess we'll obviously look at the India-Pakistan match. Given the amount that India and Pakistan are playing this very short span, it almost feels like, well, they won the first one, they've lost another one. There is likely to be another one in a week's time. And yet another one in the T20 World Cup.
Yeah. It's a kind of series. Otherwise, if you don't have tournaments, I don't think India and Pakistan are going to play at all. It was a close game. Let's see how it goes.
It's a bit like feast or famine, where you don't have India Pakistan games for a period of time, and then suddenly, as you say, in London buses, you know, four of them come back to back. And I suppose what I would probably look at it and say is like, you know, if there was one match out of these four that India could lose, I think this was the one.
Yeah.
Because in terms of the importance of the game, this is probably the one that's... I know there are no India-Pakistan games that are not important, but this would probably be the least one in my view. I mean, you talk the first one.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, you know, well, it's the start of the series and you have to qualify for the Super Four. So that one, you know, was almost like a must win. Obviously, if things progress well and we get into the final, Pakistan come into the final, there's an India-Pakistan, that becomes a must-win. And then, eventually, you know, there's another one in the T20 World Cup, you think, well, that'll obviously be a must-win.
Yeah, it's all about who holds the nail at the end. You know, I like the way you said, if things go well, it's not going so well right now, as things stand with Sri Lanka going at a brisk pace, 5 overs 45. Last couple of overs hasn't been great. But yeah, we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to the India-Sri Lanka game in a minute. Let's kind of focus on the India-Pakistan one first. I think overall, looking at the game, it's interesting that most teams now, when they win the toss, seem to want to bowl first. It's almost like, you know, if you are batting second.
Yeah.
I can't really see any kind of advantage as such. In saying there's not really due or anything, but it just seems to be a mental thing where teams just think, well, we can chase, or any team seems to be thinking like they're better at chasing than setting a target.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset, because there is one thought which I read, it may not be true, is that, you know, people, when teams don't know what their scores are, what is the right score or winning score, they always seem to accelerate at the end and most often than not falter. Whereas if you're chasing, you know exactly where to go. I think that kind of gives them the comfort in terms of choosing the batting order and, you know, promoting people. So they're just a lot more flexible.
I mean, just looking at the first game in the Super Four, you know, Sri Lanka won chasing. India-Pakistan game, again, Pakistan clearly won chasing. And today's game as well, you know, Sri Lanka won the toss and they've chosen to bowl first or chase rather. And as you said, they seem to be, like, you know, racing India.
It is taking it in a hurry. It will be interesting to see if India cannot hold their nerves in this tournament. You know, the chances of the punters on India for World Cup would be far more reserved.
Let's go back to, like, you know, I mean, I know we're kind of flicking between the India-Pakistan and the Sri Lanka game more because of the fact that the Sri Lanka game is happening as we're recording
Yeah.
this podcast. So we are sort of slightly distracted and jumping in and out of that game. But let's for a moment focus on, I guess, the positives or the things that went well in that India-Pakistan game. Virat Kohli's seems to have come back in form, looking at the last two or three games.
He was all right until today. Again, coming back to this game, I'll tell you, the knock on Pakistan was fantastic. The knock against Pakistan was brilliant. I watched the game. It almost looked like Virat Kohli of the old. I know he's not too old, but it feels, at least in T20, he was playing with the right frame of mind, one could gauge. And then, yeah, so yeah, I think. I hope that that form continues and he's able to pick it up from. Hope it's not a false dawn, but let's see.
Yeah, this is where the problem I think have been with Virat Kohli is like, you look at all of that over the last 2.5 periods, he never looked out of form. It's almost like, he was, when he came to bat, he looked million dollars, but it's actually that it's the runs that didn't seem to be like, I know, across the test and the other white ball ODI formats, we're talking about like, there's not been a century, and here in the T20 format, you're not expecting the centuries, getting to 60s and etc. is itself is a big thing. But I suppose the next thing you're starting to look at is how fast is he getting, because the first couple of games, it was almost a runner ball. We're looking at now, it's like 40, 45 balls, he's got to 60, so the strike rate's increasing. And whether he's making a conscious effort to accelerate the strike rate and play some of the shots, which is what it looked like to me today. Like, he was just literally four balls and he went for a shot that, for a ball that just wasn't there. No, it was just simply a straight ball
Hack.
that was coming down.
I wouldn't call it a shot. He was trying to play
A
across.
hoik, yeah. He played a hoik basically across.
It was a strange shot. I mean, I think there were theories around a couple of slips placed and vacant area on the leg stump. And he is, of course, Virat Kohli. Who are we to say what shot he should have chosen? But he did look, if a club cricketer played that, I would have had a word and said, just, get it straight. And I think there was nothing special delivery. I mean, I know the commentators were going on as in swinging now. I don't think he himself would not have been proud looking at the replay.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. I mean, not to sort of just focus on Virat Kohli as such, in terms of the other thing overall, not just for that particular India Pakistan match. I know that one is where, like, Rahul and Rohit managed to get some runs, kind of a 50-50 run partnership, and Rohit obviously went on a little bit more, because he's, again, all of the focus has been so much on Kohli. You look at it and say, Rohit's really not been in form either. Definitely, in as far as T20 opening is concerned, he's not been really in the runs until today, when he scored that 72. KL Rahul, on the other hand, and this is a general for sort of pattern forming, where if you don't get the opening start, the middle order is going to struggle, or there is a not so much going to struggle, but just like the fact that there's too much expectation on the middle order.
There's so much pressure as well when you lose wickets, you can't accelerate. I think, start is important and it's very important, especially in a T20 game. Because, if you don't have wickets, you're going to always struggle to get the momentum going into the innings. And, I think that's what India are facing if you don't get a 50 or 5 overs kind of start. They've struggled to maintain scoring rate.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at this start from Sri Lanka right now, the power play, what did they get in the power play? 57 runs. That sort of start is probably what India, need to have. This was the problem, previously as well, as India was like, the openers really took too much time, or like, we were slow and kind of most teams tend to front load in terms of scoring the bulk of the runs in that first 6 overs with the power play, and then keep going on that. Whereas India seemed to be with the opening, again, simply from based on the fact that Rahul's not scoring, so I don't know whether he's kind of like wanting to stay in there, so taking more time. Rohit's playing the same thing, Kohli plays the same thing, and suddenly you've got Suryakumar Yadav, Hardik Pandya, and Rishabh Pant under pressure to have to go right from the outset.
And even I think this is something that the team would talk about in terms of continuously maintaining. We have the firepower. That's the thing. We have the firepower. Even today in today's game, Ashwin hit some good sixes or six. But you get the idea, right? I mean, I don't have to necessarily slow down and take stock. Unlike in any other format, you should be going. Let's see. I hope it's not a Rahul Dravid influence on the team. Yeah, all jokes apart, I think it is what it is right now.
I mean, one other thing to talk. Normally, we would tend to do a segment of news, and there was a couple of news items that I did wanted to do. We will cover one of them at the end, but the other one which we wanted to look at in the news segment normally was Ravindra Jadeja, and this kind of the Ravindra Jadeja's unavailability both for this one and his going into surgery and not being available for the T20 World Cup, I think has had a massive. You could actually feel that, the massive imbalance that has created in the team. Yesterday, they brought in obviously Deepak Hooda and Ravi Bishnoi in terms of, players bringing in, but it is just not the same thing. Deepak Hooda, even though he came in, he didn't bowl at all against Pakistan in that game. So he played purely as a batsman at a time when you had, the likes of Bhuvneshwar and Hardik Pandya, etc., going at 10s and 11s. Even Chahal went, I think, more than 10 runs and over. It was surprising to see that, Hooda wasn't used. That injury to Ravindra Jadeja, it is so unfortunate.
It is,
Right in the middle of this tournament, and then the at the beginning of the World Cup.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate. I think Jadeja would have definitely made a huge impact in this game, in these games as well as I don't know if he's going to be fit enough for the T20 World
I
Cup.
don't think he is. I think
Yeah, he's
for
out
sure,
of.
it is definitely he's undergoing surgery, and
Yeah.
he's not going to be fit for the T20 World Cup. He's out of it. It's likely that. Well, they have obviously put in Akshar Patel as the backup for this
Back up.
tournament they've bought in. And so maybe it's an opportunity for Akshar Patel to go to Australia, depending, although he's not played yet in this game.
It is looking a bit dodgy, isn't it? I mean, but yeah, I think Jadeja would have been a huge impact player. He is in terms of fielding, in terms of getting the bouncy wickets, and especially against right-handers, left-arm, spin that's going away from the batsman is always difficult to negotiate. Yeah, we got to play with what we have, right? At the end of the day, no point complaining about who we don't have. Wishing a speedy recovery for Jadeja, but I don't think with all the best thing in the world, he's going to be ready in time for the World Cup.
No, he's definitely not. And you can see the difference in terms of, that first India Pakistan game where he scored 35 of 29, and then he bowled another couple of overs for I think 10 or 11 runs, something like that. So he gives. I don't know whether Rohit Sharma actually trusts Deepak Hooda to do some bowling, because I would have thought we would have gone for the sixth. You bought him in, he can bowl off spin. You would have gone for the sixth against Pakistan. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. It'd be interesting to see whether Hooda actually gets to bowl today, or whether Rohit Sharma sticks with just his five bowlers. I think when there is a sixth bowling option, that you should be using it. I mean, simply looking at it today as it stands, Ashdeep Singh is gone for all more about 13 and over.
I mean,
So,
To be honest, Srini, I mean, going by where things are right now, I think India already lost. I know I'm speaking too soon, but run a ball, almost run a ball, 70 ball, 90 is not a big deal at all.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 10
And
overs,
yeah.
85 runs, for example, if they've got 8, 8.5
Yeah.
with 10 wickets in hand, is like, no,
It's a walk in the park.
it is definitely a walk in the park, unless they
Unless
lose
they have a brain fade.
and a collapse. Yeah, it is just a walk in the park. But that completely then, well, basically, I think India are out of the tournament, you know. Even if they beat Afghanistan, unless
Sri Lanka lose to Pakistan.
Sri Lanka lose to Pakistan, but still they would have had two wins, and then you will need Pakistan to lose to Afghanistan. So thereby, I can't see, like, you know, if India lose today, India progressing, because you would essentially have
Yeah.
two wins for Sri Lanka and then two wins for Pakistan. And that's it, India out.
India
So
route, yeah.
yeah, this is
That's a
almost like a
big,
must.
yeah, Chris Silver boot
Yeah.
magic on Sri Lanka's team. But yeah, I don't want to speak too soon, but it does look like, you know, 90 in 10 overs, 11 overs is pretty gettable.
Yeah, 19 loan overs is fairly gettable. Not that big a deal at all. I mean, that last game, we talk about Archie Deep Singh, his drop. My God, what an absolute sitter that was. I know players don't kind of, you know,
Yeah.
think to drop catches as such, but he was like, he was so casual, just thinking, oh yeah.
Yeah, I've bagged it. I also felt that when I looked at the catch, it was like so casual. I don't think he was like already celebrating. He was like, yep, got it. I think almost an Akshar Patel vibe to that
Yeah.
particular catch. But anyway.
But although, to be fair to him, he did, like, you know, if he had a few more runs, you know, he may have bowled better in
Yeah.
that last over. That didn't quite impact him, that get drop catch. But obviously today he's been taken to the cleaners. Just on, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you've noticed, like, you know, this new rule that's come
Yeah.
in the T20, and probably I think it's also been now implemented in the ODIs, is the fact that, you know, if you haven't bowled the number of overs by the cutoff time
Yeah,
for the
you're.
remaining overs, you get one less fielder.
I think India were affected by it
At,
this
yeah, the
game,
last game they were
last
one
game,
player, and
but
even the
then,
India Pakistan game as well, like, you know, when
yeah.
India were chasing, they had that advantage, you know, Hardik had. But I think that is an absolutely
Fair,
brilliant rule, you know,
yeah.
in because it gives you the result. Sort of the punishment is given right on within that match. You know, all this thing
Yeah.
about, like, having a match fine, fees fine, and all of
Yeah,
those
that's
things,
all that, yeah.
this makes such a massive difference. Whereby, like, you know, the fielding team, if they are trying to slow down too much and take too much time, they get penalized immediately.
Yeah, I think what I was thinking about was whether India were really affected by it. I think yes, India brought the fielders in, but I thought given the situation where the game was then, that could actually work in our favor.
True,
But it
India in
didn't.
fact at one point, you know, where they only needed to have five fielders inside, they had six fielders inside
Yeah.
at one point. They were more attacking. But no, I was talking about that rule in general. I think it's one of the
Yeah.
very good rule changes that the MCC slash ICC has brought in, and it makes definitely the game move faster. I think, I don't know if they've implemented that in the IPL, but for sure from next year, if they should implement that in the IPL, and it will definitely make the IPL a little bit
Yeah.
more, like, you know, quicker than the elongated time we have
Yeah,
right now.
it's the drinks break, really. I mean, really the drinks
It's
break was killing
it's the drinks it's the drinks break after the drinks break that is the one that, you know, literally finished
us.
the drinks break, and then the next over someone wants a gloves or a drink just to take a break. Both from the batting team itself, they should. I think they should also start to penalize that, you know, in not just the bowling team but also the batting team, in the sense of if the batsmen are calling on for gloves every other over, they should probably like saying, well, the delay is because of you either tend to have to score another extra 10 runs that gets added to the fielding team.
Or
so
duck
you've got
some
to
runs,
score.
yeah. I think it makes sense, you know, if you do call, there should be some penalty. I agree, not
yeah,
only
if
for the
if it's
bullet.
A batting team that's causing the delays, you know, there
Yeah.
should probably be some penalty for them as well. So
Yeah, I think it is like that, isn't it? Because if this is the rule, batsmen are going to try to take advantage of that.
it's just kind of trying to bring in that additional as well. Again, just to round off where we are with the match, the state of the match is 10 overs, 89 for no loss, Sri Lanka.
60 balls, 85 runs, come on.
That's almost like, you know, exactly, they've scored half the runs in 10 overs and they need the other half in the remaining 10. So, Hardik Pandya hasn't been quite...
I think he was carted around initially. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, looking at the body language right now, I'm really happy to be proved wrong, by the way. People, you know, all these predictions don't come true sometimes in cricket. It's a funny game and all that. But where things stand right now, I wouldn't be betting on India.
Yeah, looking at ESPN cricket for win probability, it's 74 to Sri Lanka and 26 to India. Which I think is a bit slightly bit generous.
Yeah, 25%.
More than a quarter of it is slightly bit generous. I would have probably gone more like 85-15, but...
You think Bumrah would have made the difference to start with? A couple of overs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You don't have the best 11 on the field.
Yeah.
And so.
Definitely over Ashdeep Singh, Bumrah would have made, you know, a massive difference. I mean, even that India-Pakistan game with 8 runs, you would have given... I mean, don't get me wrong, Ashdeep Singh actually bowled well. He took
it till
the last 2 balls.
Yeah.
You would have think, well, if he can take it, Bumrah would probably have it. It might have been difficult, but, you know, he may well have. In fact, that Rohit Sharma put his trust in Bhuvneshwar Kumar and gave him the 19th over, and he got taken... the cleanest, like almost 20 runs, 19 or 20 runs in that 19th over. But if had Ashdeep had like, you know, another 10 runs in a sort of, if Pakistan had to get 16 or 17 in that last over, it might have been a different game.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, kind of swing
some
roundabouts.
Anyway, ifs and buts are where pots and pans.
Yeah.
There will be no work for tinker fans, isn't it? Something. But It's a very strange tournament, in my view. By the way, things are shaping up. Of course, that's nature of T20, nature of wickets that they are being played in, conditions. So I don't want to be harsh on India, but you know, I'm sure they would have to do some introspection and regroup before the World Cup.
Before the World Cup, definitely, like, you know, sort of. to be honest, like, you know, I was making the, you know, if we went back and listened to our podcast episode 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was pretty much saying, you know, Ashdeep Singh should go to the World Cup, you know, the left arm seamer offers.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think he should go, you know. I would still take Ashdeep Singh, but I'm more right now trying to think of, like, you know, how much will he have been scarred by this experience. I mean, I haven't looked at kind of anything in the means, but I'm sure, like, you know, when he dropped that catch and then he bowled the last over and lost, surely he must have had some sort of repercussions or, you know, backlash on social media. I to be honest, I didn't follow it, so I really don't know. But that, you know, it's like, how well can the team get around him and say that doesn't matter, people drop catches, so you dropped it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did his best to bowl, and whether that's had an impact on him or, you know, whether he can put it away and kind of move, it's... is what it depends on.
It's a test of character, Srini.
Yeah.
I know it is difficult. Poor guy. I mean, yeah, the abuse on online, it's a reality of life. And no matter what you're doing, good, bad, ugly, you are going to be bound to receive that. And I'm sure, you know, that the players are rallying around him in support.
So before, like, you know, so we wind this sort of this episode one, you know, the focus we've had is a lot primarily on India and stuff like that, you know, with the lack of IPL. But I think sort of this deserves its own segment in terms of we should focus on one other news that's kind of edged off in Indian cricket, if you like, is the retirement of Suresh Raina. So he's obviously come and announced that, you know, he's retiring from all forms of cricket. You can simply look at some of his, I guess, stats from for what he's done for India. You know, you would straight away look at it and say, well, his test stats weren't the great. He was, you know, thing against the short ball and all of those things. No, but to be honest, he was, I think, the first Indian player to actually have 100 in, like, you know, ODI T20 and
And
test matches in all three formats. I think KL Rahul might be the only other one, if I remember correctly, like, you know, who's got that now. But yeah, he's definitely, like, you know, from a CSK fans perspective, you know, us as this podcast, you know, kind of focuses on the CSK element of it, he's been huge. He's literally been, like, you know, for the first 10, 12 years, Mr. IPL. You know, there probably wasn't a match where, you know, CSK played and
He
Raina
played
not being part of it. You just couldn't even imagine it.
132 games on a trot, I
Yeah,
think.
in IPL.
Yeah, that's a huge record. And he to be alongside Dhoni and have that kind of fan following for him, it was just simply phenomenal. Don't take anything away from Jadeja, for example. Jadeja was also in a similar role in the last couple of years when Raina was out of CSK setup. He didn't garner that much adoration. I think there was something about Raina, the way he played, fielded, and just the energy around the game was simply phenomenal. And he's a 39-50 in IPL. Yeah, just phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, the way we adopted in Chennai, you know, Dhoni as Tala, you know, Chinnathala for Suresh Raina was, like, you know, he was, yeah, what you would call part and parcel of the furniture. You know, they absolutely adored him and loved him right after Dhoni. And then, yes, it did end, you know, on a little bit of sore note in terms of, you know, the controversy with which he left. You know, he didn't make that tournament in the UAE, and then subsequently he didn't play for CSK. Even when he did go and away and play for that one season, you know, when CSK couple of seasons CSK were not there, or were serving a ban, and MSD went to play for Pune and he went to play for Gujarat at that point in time. When CSK came back, you know, it was almost by default, you know, he expected Suresh Raina to be back there. And I remember a one game, I think it was against Punjab in 2014. The first six overs or something like that, CSK scored 100, and Raina probably scored about 80 odd runs in that game. Is like absolutely, like, you know, phenomenal. I mean, we could talk about the number of stats from a records perspective in terms of his the catches he scored, or the amount of runs he scored for CSK and taken and everything. But I think overall as a package, you know, he was literally, like, you know, right from the beginning when sort of CSK started, he was completely adopted.
He was a Dhoni. I mean, if Dhoni for some reason would have retired, he would have easily been, CSK captain for the next, for however many years he left playing cricket. And I think this retirement as well, I think there are talks in press reports saying it might enable him to play some, the T20 series in UAE. And so from a fan point of view, let's see if this is able to, kind of get Suresh Raina back into some T20 action, which we all love and love to watch.
So I think we should probably conclude this, you know, sort of saying, like, you know, thankful to Suresh Raina and for all the great memories he's provided to us as fans of CSK fans. You know, it was a great time. I guess when Dhoni left, it's probably now as well, like when you say, yeah, they were like excellent memories, and he will always be like cherished with the CSK fans. As we sort of close this podcast, just notice that Sri Lanka have lost their first wicket.
The
What
probability
would,
has increased to
which
37.7.
is quite surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pathum Nisanka bowled out for 52. I mean, that
Yeah.
I still think, looking at their batting, like with
Second one gone
Shobhan
as well, Srini, as we close, we bring in some happy news.
Charita Salanka is gone as well. So Kirti Lanka probably comes in, but yeah, they still have got Darshan Shanaka, Malika Rajapaksa,
Yeah.
Vanindu Hasrange, all can wield the willow, so to speak. Let's
Let's
fingers
not
crossed.
speak too soon.
Yeah, the win probability has suddenly gone up to like almost 44%. So interesting how every wicket suddenly takes that forward.
Let's
Right.
see.
So if you've enjoyed this podcast, do leave your ratings and reviews on Spotify or any of the podcasts that you listen from, and download the podcast from. Definitely interact with us on Yellow and Blues. We are on Twitter. And until next week, hopefully, when we record the next podcast, India could well have played the final and won the Asia Cup. We will see.
Oh, hope, fingers
Tempting
crossed.
fate.
Yeah.
Okay, but goodbye from me and Venkat. Have a
Thanks.
good rest of the week.